Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I am thrilled to have my guest here today, Dale T. Phillips. How are you doing, Dale?
Fine, thank you.
It's so good to see. Well, we've known each other for a long time here and there in the community that we're in. But I'm going to give you an introduction for those who may not have come across you quite yet, which I can't imagine there's too many of those people. But here we go.
Both of them.
Yeah, all two people that don't know you. Dale T. Phillips is a New England writer. He spent his formative years in Maine and has lived and worked in a number of different places. He graduated from the University of Maine at Orono. Is that Orono? Is that how you say it?
Orono, Orono? Yep.
Yeah, I said it right. I've seen that word like my whole life, but I've never had to say it.
Places and Maine, yeah. Nobody can pronounce them properly if they're not from there. I mean, yeah. I listened to an audiobook. He can pronounce a single town in Maine properly.
Yeah, in New England, you're on your own, get your own thing going on. Studied writing with Stephen King, which I want to ask you about. He is a technical writer, but has previously held a large number of jobs. I wasn't going to list them all. There's like 5 million of them, like me. Like, you've had more jobs than me, which is saying something. Including, I chose a couple that I thought were fun. You've been a holiday Santa and a blackjack dealer. But literally, there's like 25 other jobs on your website, minutes. So everyone can go check it out.
I'm sorry. Someone just came to the door. Yep. I've told them come back in a few minutes, so...
Yeah. And I would say you're probably one of your previous employers looking to see what you're up to, if you can pick up a shift.
Oh, goodness, no.
The bar or the store or wherever you've been working. Dale has published novels, over 70 short stories, collections, articles, jokes, and poetry, and has appeared on stage, television, and in an independent feature film, as well as quiz shows like Think Twice and Jeopardy. That's really impressive. He co-wrote and acted in a short political satire film called The Nine. He has traveled to all 50 states, which is something my great-grandmother was very proud of. She had done that too. And a number of countries spanning half the globe, from Hawaii to Greece, and now lives with his family in Massachusetts. So you went far and wide, but you came back to New England. So you're back to your roots.
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Dale.
Thank you.
So what do you want to talk about today? What's your most recent work? What are you working on now? What are we here to talk about today? We usually talk about the newest book or story.
Goodness. Okay. So I have a bunch. The trouble is I get involved in one project and then more rear their heads, and I must listen to the muse and I must work on what I'm told is important then. And I've at one time 2 years ago, I was working on 3 different books and I had partials on all of them. And I went, well, that's just not optimal. So I finished one, finished another, and then before I could finish the third, another one popped up and I had to write that one first before coming back. Very recently, as of just a few days ago, we have put out 87 ways to sell more books. Because every writer I know says, how do I ... you know, get these sales up? And so I came up with all the years of experience, all the talking with other writers, all reading other books, articles, blogs, speaking with people, finding good marketing techniques, not just from writers, but from other sources as well. Put them all together in a book, and I've got 10 other contributors who each contributed small pieces of there, because they said, oh, I know all about press releases. Let me do that. Oh, I know all about productivity. I know all about publicity. So I added them in because I like to promote other writers as well. And these are deserving people that need a broader audience.
Yeah, you were definitely a generous person in the community. I know I've known that from the very beginning. That is such a cool idea. So it's, say the title again, 87
ways to sell more books.
Okay. So
short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah. So you like bypassed Paul Simon, 50 ways to leave your lover. So you have the 87. Okay, cool.
It's a follow-up to my how to be a successful indie writer. They're basically the match set. The first one tells you how to set everything up and get going and do it. And then this one tells you how to be even more successful doing it.
Awesome. Well, you're very wide ranging in your interests and your tastes, and you're very prolific in multiple ways. You're a technical writer, which I find that to be very hard. And then you also do nonfiction, which you write short stories, you write novel. I mean, you're all over the place. But you know, if I look at your list of jobs you've had, I can kind of tell why you're like this.
The greatest background for a writer is to be diverse, wide ranging, and oddball.
Yes. Yes. And you are all those things, Dale.
I am totally all those things.
And I say that in a very loving way. So official question number one. when we first met, this is many years ago now, in New England, of all places, you talked about your experiences writing with Stephen King, learning from Stephen King. Can you tell our audience about that? And what was that experience like?
It was wonderful. He came back as writer in residence to the college for a year where he had graduated years before and taught classes. And I went down and took everything from him. Learned about his love of the craft, about his productivity, about teaching you what it is you need to do to become a writer. At that point, I really hadn't thought of myself as a writer. And after taking his courses, I realized it was something that that infectious spark he passed on to us. And I wanted to do it, but I wanted to do it right. Like he said, make stories that matter to people, make them honest, and just keep doing it over and over. And since he was from Maine and had a lot of similar background, I was like, well, if he can do it, and by golly, you know, and it took a while, I must say, because I wasn't good when I started out. I had the fire, but not the craft, not the skill, the technique. And so it took years to develop that. But then in the 90s, I started selling a couple of stories. And then later on, it took a while for that to catch on, but I was always working on these books, you know, working on one book, finished that, wasn't good enough, set it aside. Worked on the first mystery book. Ah, that was something that really caught fire and turned out really well. Sold that. And then years later, had to go back to that first book I ever wrote and then found ways to make it good.
Yeah, well, you're, you know, you treat it like a job. Like you've done, you know, yes. These other jobs, but
people look at it and they say, how have you produced 33 books in 12 years? And I go, well, look at Stephen King. He writes every day. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I'm lazy. And I go, if I'm lazy and can still put out that many books, think about it, folks. Come on. You know, you can do this.
Yeah. You come at it, with, you know, like you're punching a clock, which is good. Yeah. You know, you get the work done. And that's the main thing. Well, you wrote a book about how to succeed as an indie writer. And this wasn't really one of my planned questions, but I'm going to ask anyway, because sometimes I just do whatever I want because it's my show.
You can do that.
Yeah, I get to be the boss in a lot of places. And I've found that this is like very good for my personality. I need to be in charge. It's a thing. So you've indie published, I'm assuming, and you've traditionally published too. I know that
I started in the traditional world for you.
Yeah. So tell us about why did you take this path?
Yeah, I had an agent, traditional path, and then the world was changing, and I noticed that. And plus, we had some interest from New York, but everything took so long. It was like, I'm going to be dead before I can get out the number of books. You know, what is this one book a year nonsense that most traditional published people are stuck with, unless they work under pen names or do something else? But it was not a viable option anymore. The indie world was, ever since Kindle came out, was able to sell with ebooks, make enough income. And people like Joe Conrath, Dean Wesley Smith, Christine Catherine Rush, Hugh Howey, Vin Zandri, and many others were saying, look, traditional is kind of fading. And the way to really make money and be your own boss is independent publishing. I didn't know enough about it, so I went with small presses for a few years and a few books until after 2 years, I'd learned enough to go out on my own. And then I started with some experiments, you know, short story collections, things like that. And I go, oh, well, this is easy. I can do this. And then branched out on my own. Now I have my own publishing company. I actually publish a couple of other writers, but I prefer not to do that, but just they needed some help to do that. And I can publish whatever I want, when I want, how I want, the price I want, with my cover, my content, anything. And if it's like, oh, the schedule's slipping a little bit because I'm busy, no worries. It's not in somebody's catalog that has to come out by a certain date. I get great editing. I get feedback from beta readers and other writers. And I work on quality, always trying to up my game with every book I put out.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a nice way to control your own fate and your own career, because like you said, you could sit around and wait for 20 years to be discovered. And that's, yeah. You know, it's just not something everyone wants to wait around for.
And waiting for a pat on the head from some stranger is, like you said, you like to be in control of this because it's your show. Same thing. I'm like, who better to make money for you to control what you do and how you do it than yourself?
Exactly.
I only have to deal with one jerk in the business.
Well, yeah, and I have a publishing company as well, as you know, and it's just really nice to be able to highlight these voices that would otherwise be overlooked, and that's why we got into it. That's why I got into it, because it's sort of like there aren't just 20 people writing in the world. There's thousands of people, and you know, it's just,
millions.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. You know, it shouldn't be up to a few people to decide who gets to be heard. So, but I think independent publishing and small press publishing has really made them step up their game. Or you can look at it where they are so freaked out that they just only go with certain people. You know, it seems like they need a sure bet, or they're all going to lose their jobs, kind of things. So they're very timid to take on, you know, new voices. So, but it is interesting how it's shaped both ends of the business, you know, I think.
Well, a traditional publisher that I like, and she's very successful. She's like, her level of success, though, caps out at 20,000 books. The publishers will not put money in to doing more for her. And she says, so what's the difference between me and the 250,000 seller? And they go, there is none. They put all their money into the top tier, the top half a dozen or dozen writers, and everybody else is left on their own. And I'm like, that's a limit. I don't like limits either.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's to be put into a certain category because they decide that for no apparent reason other than it's safe. You know, it's just annoying. It's annoying. That's why, you know, it's funny because indie publishing and indie writing was sort of like looked down upon in the beginning, but indie films and indie music have never been. It's always like,
that's my model.
Yeah, those are the coolest.
In the 90s, the music scene completely changed and it said, you don't have to sign with a big record company and get screwed and do two albums and get dropped.
Yeah.
You can do the music you want all the time. And I know so many successful people who did that. Yeah. And the same with movies, exactly the same. You don't need a $25 million movie that nobody's going to hand you the reins to that, but you can make small films that work your way up. Yeah. Absolutely.
And they were always cooler. And there's still, indie music is still, I still listen to indie rock radio stations. I mean, it's always, you know, I don't want to be told what I'm supposed to like, you know.
Oh my gosh, I can't even listen to the radio. It's like, play something good.
Yeah,
and then I can go on YouTube, find the artists I like and similar ones to them and go, why don't you play them?
Exactly. Exactly. We're in the same boat. See, that's why we do the indie thing. So you've had as we have alluded to multiple times, you've had a wide array of professions, including acting. And I'm always curious about actors and writing. And how do you feel those experiences, like your acting experiences, do they impact your writing at all? Do you think of things visually when you write? Just kind of expand on that idea.
Well, I always say that I graduated with a pretty useless theater degree, and it didn't come into play until 40 years later when I started selling books and doing live shows. Yes, finally being on stage. Actually, an actor has to put themselves in somebody else's shoes. That's what they do. And that is the most valuable thing for a writer, is getting outside of your own experience and being able to see the world through the eyes of others. That's what an actor is all about. And that's what a writer is all about. And I think that's very valuable for that. It also makes me not shy when I go on stage and do a lot of public speaking. I do a lot of workshops, presentations, things like that. And so it was a valuable skill for overcoming one of the greatest fears that people have. They hate public speaking. And I'm like, I love it. Give me a microphone and an audience and I'll talk about anything. I mean, come on. But I love talking about writing and publishing. I could talk all day about that, as you know.
Mm-hmm. How, so what's the most recent public speaking thing you've done?
Like I said, The 87 Ways is out. And also a few weeks ago, one of my favorite bookshops said, you know, we recommended your mystery series to this person who has chewed through all of them and wants another one. I go, yeah, I'm not ready to write another. And then the next day I was like, well, you know, and then started turning it over in my mind, and it was ready. It was fertile ground, and boom, the seed was planted and I was off and running. So I hope to have that out by Christmas. Number 7 in the Zach Taylor mystery series, A Great Reckoning.
Yeah, cool. I like the title.
Which is from Shakespeare, about the death of Marlowe.
Yeah, I love the title.
Oh, everything I use is from literature. You know, it's a phrase. A certain slant of light is from Emily Dickinson. Mm-hmm. A memory of grief is from the Epic of Gilgamesh. And every quote is part of the theme of the book. The cover is part of the theme. The quote is part of the theme. Everything is interrelated. And that's why, you know, I don't do these faster. Because again, and each book has to be better and better. And wow, upping your game every time is a tough gig.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it keeps them coming, and you got to do it. You know, it keeps them coming. So this is a good segue into my next Special question. Do you have a favorite character you've ever written? Is it Zach? What's your favorite character you've ever written? Or it could be anybody from all your 70 stories.
It's like people saying, so what's your favorite work or what's your favorite child?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're all got a place in my heart. You know, the villains, the antagonists, the protagonists, the side characters. I love it. You know, someone will come up and they go, oh, where were you in the first draft? You just popped in and now you took over the whole book. I love that. Mm-hmm. So Zach Taylor, yes, that's the bread and butter for the mystery series because he's modeled on Travis McGee by John D. McDonald. I wanted a similar feel to the world, but mine is even darker than Travis, which is at its darkest, Travis can get pretty bleak. But he's also lives a wonderful life in the meantime. And Zach is trying to become a better person by helping others. But there's always the law of unintended consequences. Things always go awry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what makes them keep coming back. We do ask the hard questions here, as you know. It's very 60 minutes. That is a tough question to answer, but you did a good job. So, final question of the show. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be? Because you've had this extremely long, varied career. You've written a million things. What would you, if you could tell your younger self anything, knowing what you know now, what would that be?
Two things. One, work faster. And two, write down every story that people tell you, because I've absorbed stories, but I have heard so many wacky stories. And now I write everything down. Somebody says something and I go, I'm stealing that. I'm going home and writing that down and using that in a book. My person cutting my hair just the other day, she went to a campground, met this freaky guy who came out of the woods, who was just all over the place, and left her some firewood in the morning and a bucket of crab legs. And I go, that's just so out there. And it's a detail. You're like, okay. And then your mind starts working around it. What kind of person? And then you work backwards from that. It's like my character, Zach. It's like, okay, I said, I want somebody who doesn't like guns, but gets involved in dangerous situations. So I had to work backwards and create that character.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice. Yeah, because I mean, and then they say that's where the truth is, straight to the fiction stuff comes from, because it's like people do the weirdest random stuff in your everyday life. You're like, oh, well, if I wrote that in a book, I hope my editor won't think that I'm insane, but I saw somebody doing it. But yeah, that's pretty fun. I wonder what that guy was up to. That's weird. If he doesn't have, like, you know, a shallow grave back there somewhere.
That's I know. And that's where my mind goes immediately. It's like, okay.
I just remembered
I have to go to the store. I'll be right back.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, thanks for the crab legs. I have to go. I have to leave. I have to go far away from here, wherever this is. Well, that's awesome. So what are you working on now? What's going on for you next? Where can we find you?
Yes, it's going to be publicizing the novel 87 Ways. It's going to be getting the novel out in October. For people who write scary stuff, which I do, scary books and murderous crooks, is jam-packed. I have shows all over the place, presentations at libraries, selling shows. I'll be at the Greater New Hampshire Craft Fair. My daughter's wedding, which I have to go down to. Work, my still technical job is still flaring up, and they want a lot of stuff done. I'm like, holy cow. But it's great to be busy, to be in a writing life. I mean, this week I have manuscript critiques to do all week. We had this last night. We had Dana King on our Tewksbury Writers Night Out. It was a terrific show. If people get, we'll have the recording of that out soon. It's a writing life and I'm happy in it. And I talk to so many writers who aren't happy. Oh, my editor, my publisher, my sales, blah, blah, my covers, blah, blah, blah. Wah. And I want writers to be happy and successful.
Yeah, you do.
So that's what I work towards.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're in the same boat there, because I like to have everyone be happy.
You do so much for everybody else, and you're an officer at these big conferences, which really helps. You're a publisher. You get people noticed, and you help promote them, which is terrific.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's fun, and I've always been like a community person, like a team. Let's all have a big party. You know, I'm not an extrovert.
It should be a big party. And like Dean Wesley Smith says, this should be fun. If it's not fun, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. This is supposed to be we're not going to an office where everyone's horrible all day long, you know? So it's just, this is supposed to be the dream. I mean, I feel like I have a dream job. So I'm really happy too. I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah. We sit in a room and we make stuff up and we get paid for it. What's better than that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's such a joy to talk to you every single time. You always just make me laugh and smile, and I can see why you're just a good actor, because not that you're pretending, but you know, you just have a very charismatic.
Take it till you make it.
Yeah. You just crack me up. Well, have a good rest of your day. Thanks for being on the show. And please come back with your next project. We'd love to talk about whatever you have going on next.
Excellent. Well, I've always got more going on. Thank you, Sean.
Well, maybe every third thing you do, so it'll be like every other
Okay,
week.
Okay, yeah, that'll once a year. How's yeah. that?
No, more often than that, but less than every week. We'll find a good rhythm somewhere in there. So we'll have a compromise. Thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you in person very soon.
Yes, thank you.